Today is Laetare Sunday. You can tell the difference by the color of the priest's vestment today. It's a lighter version of purple. It's not pink, it's rose. You know? And the reason for this is that the church wants us to see that the season of Lent isn't just about doing penance, it's also about rejoicing because of the coming gift of salvation, won for us by Jesus when he died on the cross for us. So the process of conversion, which we are invited to embrace in the Lenten season, is supposed to be a process that causes us joy, because we see that it leads to human happiness to be converted. So let's look at, by the way, it's halfway through the season of Lent. You know, today is the fourth Sunday of Lent. We've gone 3 weeks. We have three more weeks to go. And this is a good time for you to renew your commitments to your Lenten practices if they've faded over the last couple of weeks. In today's readings, we see patterns of conversion that the church is inviting the catechumens to embrace as part of their preparation for baptism. So these patterns of conversion are something that those of us who've already been baptized need to learn from in order to re-embrace our Christian vocation. The first reading is from the Old Testament, from the book of Chronicles, which is not often read in church on Sunday. It's really a recapitulation of the history of the Jewish people. And in this reading, the Jewish people are presented to you and to me as a model of conversion. And what's described here is the pattern of their sin, the results of that sin, and then restoration by God. So let's look at this reading and then apply it in some concrete ways to ourselves. It begins by saying this: in those days, all the princes of Judah, the priests, and all the people, that gets all of us, you know, the princes, the leaders, political leaders, the priests, you know, people like the bishop, and all the people, added infidelity to infidelity. Does it sound familiar? It's a pattern of our lives. You know, we, all of us, no matter who we are in the church, have a pattern of adding infidelity to infidelity. It's very hard for us to be faithful to God and faithful to our baptismal promises. It goes on to say, early and often, it couldn't be more than that, did the Lord, the God of their fathers, send his messengers to them. For he had compassion on his people. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his warnings, and scoffed at his prophets. Early and often, how many times in your life and my life has God sent messengers to us? Perhaps it's simply the message of the scriptures that we hear on a Sunday, our catechism lessons when we were children, the encouragement by our husband or wife to be more faithful to the gospel, our friends giving us good example. Early and often, the Lord has come to us and we have resisted grace time and time again. Maybe not as dramatically as mocking the messengers of God, although our lives sometimes mock the grace that God has given us. We haven't exactly despised his warnings, perhaps, but we've ignored them and scoffed at his prophets. You know, sometimes we say, well, that the teaching of the church is old-fashioned. That's kind of scoffing at the word of God, actually. And so this pattern of resistance to grace and turning often and always to sin is a pattern of their lives, but also the pattern of our lives here. Well, God lost patience with the Jewish people and led them from the Holy Land into slavery in Babylonia. That was a result of their resistance to God. But that wasn't the end of the story. You know, it tells us here that after those years of slavery in Babylon, God sent a redeemer for the Jewish people. His name was King Cyrus. He was the king of the Persians who destroyed the Babylonian empire. And one of the things that history tells us that Cyrus did was to release the people who had been put in bondage by the Babylonians and sent them back home. And this reading ends by Cyrus sending the Jewish people back home to Jerusalem to do two things: to rebuild the temple and also to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And that's what Lent is about. Lent is about us having lived lives like the lives of the unfaithful Jews. God is sending us in this Lenten period to do two things: to rebuild in our hearts the temple of worship, you know, to begin to praise God more honestly and thoroughly than we've done up to now, and also to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Now, what does that mean, to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem? Well, I think it's a reminder to us that conversion, for those of us who claim to be disciples of Jesus Christ, is twofold. It's about our personal lives, you know, trying to be converted personally, but also we're responsible to our brothers and sisters to work with all our strength to rebuild the walls of the city, the walls of our community, whether it be the community of the church or the broader civic community. It's a Christian responsibility to care about the conversion of society as well as the conversion of each one of us individually, because that's a sign of our care for our brothers and our sisters. To love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and strength, to rebuild the temple, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, which is to build the walls of the city of Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem, which is the church, but also the broader society. And the church today wants us to recommit ourselves in this Lenten season to doing both those things, whether we're politicians or common citizens of the community. We're called to be responsible for our brothers and sisters, to work for the common good and for the dignity of every individual. And if we've neglected these things, we're supposed to be converted. That's reading number one. Reading number two is from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and it brings us face to face with that almost original argument between Protestants and Catholics about how we're saved. You know, to put it popularly, Protestants have claimed that we are saved by our faith. And Catholics have said historically, no, we're not saved by our faith, we're saved by our works. You know. Well, this reading teaches us that neither one of those things is true in itself. We're not saved by our faith, nor are we saved by our works. We're not saved by anything we do. We are saved by God's grace, which is His gracious action in our lives to change us. Now, what we can do once God sends us that grace is to cooperate or not. And if we cooperate with the grace, we come to faith, which is to trust God. You know, faith isn't just, you know, to believe the things that the church teaches, although that's part of it. It's more foundational that we believe those things because we trust God. That's what faith is. It's trusting God. So God sends us His grace, which leads to trust, which then causes us to do what? To do something, which we call works, right? So we're saved by grace, which produces faith that leads to works. Now, I think Protestants and Catholics generally agree that that old argument doesn't carry any water. You know, we know that we are saved by grace and not by works or by faith. But what we need to do during the season of Lent is to check ourselves on whether or not we're open to the grace. And the way we can demonstrate that is that we become women and men of faith, that we trust God. Not ourselves, but to trust God. To believe Him when He says He loves us. and let that become the operating force in our lives, which then causes us to treat others differently than we've done before. It leads to works of justice and works of charity. So we test our faith by our works, and we can figure out whether or not we respond to grace by checking our faith. Do you trust God? Do you live lives that flow from that act of trust and love? And the Lenten season is about moving back to those basic principles of Christian life. To trust and then to act on that trust because of God's grace in our lives. Finally, we come to today's gospel, which has been described as the gospel in miniature, that everything that's in the gospels is contained in these short verses from the gospel of St. John. You might see bumper stickers that say John 3:16, you know, which is in some ways the heart of this message. This is a summary of the gospel. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. That's the gospel in summary. And it's important for us to embrace that as the pattern of our own belief and our own Christian lives. But before saying this, Jesus says something else that's very interesting. And in order to understand what he says, we have to understand another passage from the Old Testament, from the book of, I think it's the book of Leviticus. Because of their infidelity, their grumbling against God and Moses, that passage in the Old Testament tells us that God sent among the Jewish people snakes, serpents, who bit the people and they died as a punishment for their sins. And as a cure for that, God told Moses to make a serpent out of bronze and put it on a pole and tell the Jewish people that if they got bit by that snake and were in danger of death, they were to look at that snake on the pole and they would be saved. And it worked. I mean, that's the story goes on to say that that's how the Jewish people were healed of this plague of snakes. Now, Jesus had that in mind when he said this to his disciples. He said it to Nicodemus. He said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." Now, Jesus is saying that just as the Jewish people were saved by looking at the snake on a pole, you and I will be saved from the poison of our sins by looking on Jesus who is hung upon the wood of the cross. This is a lesson for Lent. And the lesson is we got to take our eyes off ourselves and put our eyes on Jesus. That we have to look at him. And in looking on him, we will be saved and healed. So much of our life is about us. When you become a Christian, life is about him and not so much about us. So we ask the Lord in this Lenten season to turn our minds away from ourselves and we might turn our eyes to God. And once we do that, we begin to turn our eyes to our brothers and our sisters as well. It's all about him, it's all about them, and not about us. And the reason Jesus died on the cross, I'll never tire of telling you this time and time again, the reason Jesus died on the cross was not to suffer for us, but to show us the pattern of human self-giving. The cross is not about suffering, although Jesus suffered immensely. It's about giving oneself away. Jesus gave himself for us. Jesus gave himself to the Father for us. And the pattern of Christian life is for us to give ourselves to the Father in the service of one another. And that's what we're supposed to look on when we look on Jesus. We look on him as the pattern of Christian life. And it's through that that we receive the gift of salvation. So we have 3 more weeks of preparing ourselves for our renewal of the Easter, for our celebration of the Easter mysteries and the renewal of our baptism. We ask the Lord to continue to change us and to work miracles in our lives so that we might truly believe and give ourselves to him.